after everyone prayed, they took a bone scan. 2 weeks later, no cancer. Amen. God says, I'm hiding Mike Sinareski so that you'll seek me. Today, I appreciate your pastor giving me opportunity to fill this pulpit. I only pray that you'll listen and take what I have to say, what the Lord has to say, to heart. When God called Debbie and I into evangelism, I did not understand it. I was a pastor for 3 years in Wheelersburg, Ohio, and I know why now. As hindsight's always 20/20, amen? But when the Lord called me, I didn't quite understand it. I said, Lord, there's no way that I could ever, I'm not that great of a preacher, there's no way that I could ever be in front of crowds like this. And I thought I'd be all right with the singing, but man, the preaching, I didn't know if I'd get by with. The Lord said, you just preach. I felt like Moses. He said, just, you know, when he started saying, but my speech, Lord, he said, Mike, just preach. God gave me this message to preach everywhere I go. And it's not the only message that I know because it never comes out the same. But God has used it everywhere we've went. And most of all, he's used it in my life. We're living in a time where there's a lot of dud Christians. Matter of fact, the Bible calls it the church of the Laodicean. If you would turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And stand for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Starting in the first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Now by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony, amen? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll use me today. And Lord, I just ask you that your word will not fall void. Lord, you promised us that it wouldn't. God, I pray that the folks here be attentive and listen. God, if there be one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray today will be the day. Lord, that's what I live for. See people saved. And Lord, I just pray that you'll convict those this morning. And Lord, we might see one saved. And I love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about three subjects, preach to you about three subjects: faith, commitment, and surrender. Faith, commitment, and surrender. Now, don't turn me off yet. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that your pastor has preached probably several messages on faith. It's obvious that Dr. Barber and Brother Weaver and all those that have been involved in this ministry have some faith somewhere, amen? It's very obvious that a lot of work has been done, even in this auditorium, through faith. But this morning, I want you to look at things just a little bit different. But we're going to start out with this word faith. Faith is looking at circumstances through God's eyes. I used to carry a bottle rocket around with me. How many of you know what that is? Say amen. It's a firework that you buy. And before I'd come to the pulpit, I'd have this bottle rocket, but I'd take it to the restroom and I'd dump out all the evidence and the substance, and I'd dump all the powder out of it, and then I'd soak it in water, and then I'd put the wick back in it, and I'd bring it into the auditorium, and I would use it as an illustration, very effective illustration. But my wife told me that I'm not allowed to use it anymore, so I didn't bring it today, and I probably never will bring it again, because in Clyde, Ohio, Brother James Lewis, I was preaching, and I used that as an illustration, and I lit the bottle rocket, and it's supposed to just get flared up, which it does, and then it gets ready to go boom, like it's supposed to, and it's just psst, a dud. Then I go on to tell you the title of my message, which is Dud Christians. But that day, it fired up again. And I said, this is impossible. And I thought, what in the world's going on? Maybe a little powder fell on the wick. I didn't know what was. And it just kept going and going. And the further out I got, and all of a sudden, bam! Right in my face, black all over my face, black all down my arms. And Brother Lewis is looking like, I can't believe he just let that off in my church. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe that went off in his church. And he just remodeled his whole place. It looked much like this, this beautiful place. And he's thinking, I just can't believe he let that off. But I didn't miss a beat. I said, faith can change your life. Amen? Amen. Can it? Amen. I said, faith can change your life. Faith can change what you are. Amen? Amen? Faith can change how you are. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of you in here this morning would like to please God? Say amen. Amen. Then have faith. But unfortunately, the unsaved world does not understand true Bible faith because it sees so little faith in action in the church today. Christians are the only Bible some may read, and unfortunately, they're NIVs. Amen? Unfortunately, they're duds. Let me say that again. Some of you will be the only Bible that someone might read or see in their life. What are you today? What are you today? Let's talk a little bit about what faith is not. Faith is not just knowledge. In James chapter 2, verse 19 through 20, thou believest that there is one God, thou believest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, just to make it clear this morning, I'm not preaching that a work salvation. There's only one way you can be saved this morning, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one salvation, and that's Jesus that died on the cross for you. You only have to ask him in your heart one time and believe it. But the Bible does say faith without works is dead. I will give you an illustration, a Mike Senareski illustration of this, and I know no one else has done this because I came up with this all by myself. Now, the preacher had mentioned that I cannot fit in one of these chairs, and I just want to show you, do you have faith in that I told you the truth, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. Now, see here, the legs, and there's just no way. Now, I didn't have any faith in these chairs when I looked at them, and I still don't have any faith in these chairs. They're beautiful chairs for a nice, thin young man like Brother Weaver, but for me, in my house, I'll just serve the Lord, amen? But I can't sit in that chair. Now, had I been able to sit in that chair, I'd know that maybe that chair would hold me up. So I'm going to go ahead and try it out here and just look. If I turn sideways just the right way, I might get a little bit of it in there. Amen. And there it is. And now I know that that chair will hold me up. And all of God's people said.
Amen.
When you sit in those brand new pews that you're sitting in, most of you this morning did not think one thing about sitting in that pew. How many of you can say amen to that? When the choir set up in their seats today, not one of you folks thought one thing about sitting in your chair today. Now, that's a pretty simple concept, but I'm a pretty simple man, and I have to have it in a simple way. And that's faith. just doing it. But however, you would never know whether those pews would hold you up had you not sat in it. That's faith without works is dead. So if you don't believe your faith the way you say you believe and the way people see you believe is a whole different ballgame. Amen? Faith is not a spiritual heritage on a second generation Christianity. My dad had a lot of faith. But just because he had a lot of faith doesn't mean his oldest son, Mike, is going to have a lot of faith. My dad went to Alaska under-supported as a missionary. He had a lot of faith. That didn't mean I had a lot of faith. Amen? John 8:39 says, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father." And here's what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Growing up as a preacher's son, and I've seen it happen everywhere that I go, in the 7 months that I've been in evangelism, I see it. I can tell you of times when I was a young man hearing Lester Roloff preach and all these great men of God preaching and great revivals breaking out all over the country, Charles Billington, and I can go on and on and on and tell you of all these great revivals that happened, but that doesn't mean they're going to happen today. But you know they can. Did you know that we could still have revival right now? I'm going to give you the secret to it here in just a minute. If you'll just listen and have faith. Faith is not a Christian lifestyle or a profession. That's not faith. Matthew chapter 7, if you'll turn with me there. Book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know what? I'm sorry, but there's going to be a lot of folks, and maybe even some sitting in this auditorium today. The Lord's going to shout, and he's going to come, and you're going to stand before God someday. And I'm afraid there might even be some in this room that are just playing church. I've watched it as a young person growing up. I've seen it in men of God, quote unquote. I've seen it in Sunday school teachers. I've seen it just about every church that I've been in, independent, fundamental, Baptist, Bible-believing churches, King James-believing people, just playing church. And no works to their faith. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is just believing what God said he'd do. God told my mom and dad many years ago, "Listen, if you'll go, I'll provide." I'm telling you, one of the scariest things that I've ever done in my life was become an evangelist. And I've already been a missionary with my father, but I worked a job, so see, I was sort of in control there. Amen? Had a little backup. But he said, "Mike, I want you to go out into evangelism." It was amazing to me. You know, when you're a pastor of a church and you go to these fellowship meetings, brother, and you go there and you're a pastor, everybody sits around your table and wants to know how everything's going in Alaska or how everything's going at your church, and just wonderful fellowship. But when you're an evangelist or a missionary, sad but true, it's like parting the Red Sea, ain't it, sister? Oh, no, here comes Brother Mike. He's wanting a meeting. So I have to grab Miss Barbara by the arm and say, "Miss Barbara, give me some meetings, amen?" But there's a reason for that. And the reason for it is that I believe in today's age, the Bible talks about the church neither being hot nor cold, but it's lukewarm. There's nothing warm going on, there's nothing cold going on. At least when you go to a cold church, you know it's a cold church. When you go to a church that's on fire for God, you know it's on fire for God. But there's nothing that makes God more sick than to come to a church with a lackadaisical Christian attitude. singing the songs of Zion. You know what I'm talking about. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I hope my roast don't burn within. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I hope this big guy shuts up quick, as I've heard this before and I want to go. We laugh at that. But in John 8:39 says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Who's our father? Faith must come first. It becomes before anything else. Faith depends, that depends on sight, is not faith. Remember the pew? Remember that chair? Well, it looks like it'll hold me up, but nothing guarantees me that that chair will hold me up. Nothing. I have to try it. Amen? There's a lot of people out there who are listening to what you're saying, but they're seeing what you're thinking. I talked earlier about my son, Jared. Why, that doesn't happen to me. When the big cancer word comes our way, how could that happen to me? Well, I'm serving God. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world. I go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. How can that happen to me? I honestly believe God hides himself so that we will seek him. And I didn't have any relationship with the Lord Jesus at that time. Never once did I pick up his word. By the way, this is God's word. This is the only way that he talks to us. Why do we live in this Hollywood fantasy believing world that we think that God's going to come down and say, "Oh, Mike Sinareski, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into evangelism." No, it's by the word of God that convicts. It's by the word of God that we hear. It's by the word of God that we're saved. This is God speaking. But how do we speak to God? Through prayer. That's probably the two things that we lack most in our Christian life. If I go around and took a poll this morning of how many of you read your Bible more than 30 minutes, I bet you even in this building today, there'd be very few. Say, preacher, why so gloom? Because what I have to say to you is so important today if you just get a hold of it. Faith is foundational. I got a foundation when I was young. I had a real drug problem when I was a kid. I was raised a preacher's kid, but I had a real drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Sunday night, drugged to church on Wednesday night. I fell asleep in the pew. Dad would, he graduated from Massillon Baptist College, and he had this big Massillon Baptist College ring, and he'd turn it around the other way and punk me right on top of the head and wake me up. 425 pounds, 6'3". You didn't punk him back. But if you'll look real close, you'll see Massillon Baptist College right here on top of my head to this day. But he said, "You'll not sleep in church. You will go to junior church, and you will run the sweeper in the auditorium tonight, whether you like it or not." And he taught me a work ethic that God's work was just as important as any work that we ever got for pay. And I thank God for that. Faith is foundational. Any master builder knows that the critical work is the foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Small vision, small church. Large vision, large church. We need a vision, church. Faith is essential. It's necessary. Verse 6 says it's impossible to please God without it. Faith is patient. Parents, you know, my parents used to tell me, sit still and be patient. Listen, sitting still is not being patient. How many of you believe the early bird gets the worm? Say amen. Amen. No way. Nope. That's a myth. It isn't the early bird that gets the worm. It's the bird that goes back to the same place every morning to get that worm. And whether the worm's there or not, he's there to get it. God gave the bird the worm, but he did not put it in his nest. We must work for that worm. Amen? We must have faith that God will provide the worm, and he will. But we must come back with faithful endurance every day. Preachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers, maybe you're here this morning and you're discouraged. It's because you're lacking faith that God will provide that, that your Sunday school class will be filled. But you know what we want today? We want, we're a microwave society. We want it right now. We want this church to be packed and building on tomorrow. But it didn't happen that way. We have to work in the fields to do that. The old song goes, there is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as my Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems though my children want to stay around the table, but no one wants to work in my fields. Oh, Brother Mike, I'm too old and I've done my time. God isn't done with you. There's a bulletin to be passed out. There's a gum paper to be picked up. There's a bus that needs swept. There's lots of things that need done. Faith is obedient. Faith does what it's told when it's told. Faith is Moses saying, I'll go across, Lord, no matter whether it looks like there's a lot of water out there, but God, I know we're going to make it across. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego going in saying, look, we're going into the fire, Lord. I hope so you show up. Isn't that the way we come to church sometimes? God, we're going to go to church. I hope I get something. Amen? Listen, let me tell you a little secret. It's not your pastor's job to... He is the shepherd and he's to preach to you and to feed you, but it's really your job to feed yourself. Amen? Amen? Those of you that come looking for a blessing will get a blessing. Those of you that come to get out will get out. Those of you that come for whatever reason will go out of here for whatever reason. But if you come today, maybe God can change your life right now by just having some faith. Faith is specific. God knows your needs and your wants. Well, that's enough on faith. Let me tell you about the difference between commitment and surrender. How many of you can say, I'm committed today? Say amen. Amen. You're afraid to now, aren't you? How many can say, I'm committed? Say amen. Amen. In Psalms 75, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commitment's a good thing, but let me give you a little different look at commitment today. You know, I love commitment. I've committed to a diet. You know why we like commitment, preacher? We like commitment because we're in control. We like to commit to read our Bible. We like to commit to our pastor. We like to commit to the choir. We like to commit to being faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We like to commit to the bus route. We love to commit to these things for God. But really, you're in control. It's just like my diet. Whenever a big juicy chicken leg comes across, I've committed to be on a diet, but I'm going to eat that chicken leg. Amen? We laugh at that, but wait a minute. Let me just ask you a question. What if we would surrender? In Wheelersburg, Ohio, I have a 17-year-old daughter. She now lives in Alabama. It's her last year of school. She'll be going to Pensacola College next year to be a nurse. I'm so proud of her. She's a good kid, but I've led her a real sheltered life. She's never took a drink that I know of, never smoked a cigarette that I know of. She's just a good kid, and you don't find those very often anymore. But I didn't say that to say this. She was committed to her job at Arby's. It's her first job. She said, Dad, I got my first job. I'll never forget when she came to me and said, Daddy, I got a job. I said, good. Amen? How many fathers can say amen to that? Are you awake this morning? I said, good, Beth. Now make sure you get there early. Make sure you do everything the boss says and make sure you work. Give them an honest 8 hours work. Don't be laying around on them. She said, I won't, Dad. Buddy, she did just that. Every day she'd be there 5 minutes early. Even the boss commented to me. She goes, you know, you just don't find kids that work like Beth anymore. You know why that is? We don't teach them faith, that God will provide the worm. If you'll just go get it, put it in your nest. Well, make a long story short, a boy emptied out the trash and he left the back door open and Beth was stocking fries. And as she was stocking fries, this young lady walked in the back door with her face covered and her sweatshirt turned wrong side out. They had just shut the pain clinic down in Portsmouth, Ohio, and she was looking for drugs. She had a 9mm in her hand. She stuck it in the back of my daughter's back and said, "Turn around and don't move." Don't you love thieves? Turn around and don't move. How are you supposed to turn around and not move? She said, "Turn around and don't move." Beth turned around, and her being naive, blonde, she just held her hands up like this and smiled, looked down at the girl. She goes, "This is a joke, right?" She said, "No, it's not a joke." She jammed that gun in her stomach. She said, "Tell the front register that I want all the money out of the front register." She had one of these microphones on like I got on right here, some bigger one. So she tells the girl at the front register that we're being robbed and the lady wants everything. People sitting out there eating Arby's didn't even realize what was going on. That's how quiet it was. I got a call on the telephone that sounded something like this. I said, "What? Beth, what's wrong? Did you wreck your car?" "No, I didn't wreck my car. Get down here, Daddy. Come get me." "What's the matter? Did you burn yourself?" "No, no. We've been robbed." I said, "You've been robbed? Are you okay?" "Yes, just get down here, please." So I ran down to Arby's just as quick as I could go with my heart, not knowing really what was going on. As I pulled up into Arby's, there was yellow tape all around the store and four or five sheriffs and a couple state troopers surrounding the place. I went to the state trooper and I said, "My daughter's in there and she wanted me to come pick her up." And they cleared me through to go on into the store. And there was Beth, and she embraced me and grabbed me and just sobbed and cried. The sheriff came over to her and said, "Listen, honey, you got to tell me what happened." She began to tell her story. And as she told her story, it went like this. She said, "Jimmy left the back door open and I was stocking fries. The lady told me to turn around and I didn't know what to do." She looked at me and she said, "Dad, I just froze. I didn't know what to do. I knew I was saved, Dad. I knew I had Jesus in my heart and I was ready to go. So I was thinking that my manager was pregnant and I didn't want them to kill the baby. So I was really thinking since I was saved and she wasn't, I was thinking about running out the door so they wouldn't kill her baby and her." The sheriff and me at the same time almost simultaneously, "Beth, you never want to run." She said, "But I didn't know what to do. I was froze." And after the Lord called me into evangelism, I got to thinking about surrender. God touched my heart. He said, "Mike, I want you to surrender to evangelism." I said, "But Lord, I got $800 worth of medicine a month. I'm a diabetic. There's no way that I can afford it. My wife works and she has insurance and she pays for my insurance. God, I just don't think I could do that." He said, "I want you to surrender. I'll take care of you." I said, "But Lord." He said, "Mike, surrender." "Lord, I'm committed. I've been a pastor for 3 years. I've done everything there is to do at a church. Lord, you know I've loved you my whole life." He said, "I don't care about your commitment. You didn't hear that robber telling, you didn't hear Beth telling the lady with the gun, 'Now listen here, I'm committed. I stock these fries every day. You leave me alone. Now you listen here, I'm here 5 minutes every day before work and you're not just going to come in here and make me surrender.'" Does that sound like someone we might know? Faith without works is dead. I like every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you a question. When you surrender, you do it God's way. I'd like the pianist, if they would just play "I Surrender All." Oh, folks, please listen to me. Please listen to me. I'm just an old country boy that wants your heart today. God's a great and mighty God that wants your heart today. How many of you in here can say, "Preacher, I've been committed all right, and I didn't even realize how committed I was, and I was just in a groove of things." And let me just tell you, what would happen in this church if someone would surrender to the bus route? If someone would surrender to preaching this morning? If someone would surrender their way and go God's way and ask Jesus into their heart today? If a song director the guys working the sound from all the way back to the nursery would surrender to their job instead of being committed, hey, you know what? We can have revival in the day of the Church of Laodicea. But you know what? You have to have faith. And the faith that you need to have is simply coming and surrendering to God. Say, so why is it so important? See, already you've turned it around and you're going to do it your way. God says, I want my way. My way is to come to an old-fashioned altar of prayer and surrender in front of 500 or so people and say, Lord, I surrender. And we're going to be singing a song here in just a minute. I surrender all. I beg you, don't sing that song unless you mean business for God. How many of you, under the sound of my voice, with no one looking around, say, Preacher, if I die today, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I would go straight to hell. I know that. Would you pray for me? Amen. Any more? Amen, young lady. Any more? Anywhere in the building? So all but one person that I can see claims to be saved in here today. How many of you that are saved would say, Preacher, I'm one of those ones that's been committed and I need to surrender. Would you pray for me? God, give me the strength to come. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Amen. 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 All over the building. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And as we sing, I surrender all, if you raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand, why don't you surrender and do what God asked you to do? Listen, we can still have revival here at Worth Baptist Church, but it can only start within a heart that is surrendered. Maybe you're here and you're retired. You say, I've already surrendered my life to God a long time ago. Maybe surrender it again. You say, Lord, what can I do now that I'm retired? Lord, what can I do different? I don't know what the case is, but I know God loves you as we sing.